You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I've got my favourite sexologist.
I've got Britain's number one reason to wear shorts.
Date fight!
Hello and welcome to Date Fight. It's the podcast where we take great moments from history and pitch them against each other.
He's J-Cap, I'm Nat Tapley, and we will be taking two bull elephants from the zoo of history and making them perform tricks for you in the circus of your mind.
It's exactly like he said. Let's have round one.
Round one!
I am going to take you back to the 4th of January, 1912.
Oh.
When the Scout Association was incorporated under Royal Charter. Lord Baden-Powell had been on about scouting for quite some time before that, starting the organisation in 1908, writing his book Scouting for Boys. Baden-Powell was also an admirer of Mussolini, but we don't like to mention that. There's an entry in Baden-Powell's diary from 1939, which says as follows. Lay up all day. Read Mein Kampf. A wonderful book with good ideas on education, health, propaganda, organisation, etc. And the youth organisation that that man started was incorporated on the 4th of January 1912. Currently, Chief Scout is Bear Grylls, who I'm not suggesting shares the views of the founder of the organisation. Early medals had swastikas on, probably because that was the symbol that Rudyard Kipling used on the cover of his books. Probably because of that. But again, 1939, lay up all day, read Mein Kampf, a wonderful book with good ideas on education, health, propaganda, organisation, etc. Ironically, the Scouts...
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's absolutely a quotation from his diaries. Ironically, the Scouts were banned from Nazi Germany as being a competitor organisation to the Hitler Youth. So if you've made something that's a bit too close to the Hitler Youth, maybe don't be that proud of it.
Mm.
Anyway, that's my thing for 1912, 4th of January. Of course, wow. There's nothing wrong with being Scouts.
I have a friend who's working with the Scouts.
Oh, no.
Quite high up. So
okay.
I'm reluctant to... I mean, let's you know, lots of institutions have come a long way from their origins, haven't they?
Yes, of course they have. Yes. And
for example... Halliburton.
Halliburton, yeah.
So.
So happy birthday to the Scouts.
And Nestle. Shh.
Because to begin with, they were just chocolate. They were hardly involved in the baby milk to the third world industry at all.
Happy times. Good days. Well, I tell you what, why don't I try and flip this and find a story that sort of follows a somewhat inverse curve and tell you that on the 4th of January 1884 in London, the Fabian Society was founded.
Oh.
Now, this was an offshoot of a society founded a year earlier, which was called the Fellowship of the New Life, which all sounds very kind of Tolkien or C.S. Lewis or something. And the idea was that they wanted social progress. As socialism, basically, but not through revolution. The idea was that it was going to be done...
Socialism by moderate means without upsetting too many people too much. We want radical social change...
Basically.
Quietly.
I mean, on the sly. So John Perdue, he wrote the logo of the Fabian Society, a tortoise, represented the group's predilection for a slow, imperceptible transition to socialism, while its coat of arms, a wolf in sheep's clothing... represented its preferred methodology for achieving its goal. And a bit later on, they were like, maybe we should drop the wolf in sheep's clothing bit. Maybe we should drop that. Nowadays, they're more of a kind of a think tank and not quite so
wolf in sheep's
weirdly
clothing-y.
Cloak and daggery sneaky about it. So it was named the Fabian Society in order of the Roman general Quintus Fabius Maximus Verrucosus, who was nicknamed the Cunctator, meaning the delayer.
I'm sure it does.
I think you can get a spray called Cunctator. Anyway, my favourite part of all of this was that one of the founding members was a guy called Henry Havelock Ellis, known as Havelock Ellis, and I decided to have a look. And he was an interesting figure. He wrote the first ever objective study of homosexuality. He did not characterise it as being a disease or immoral or a crime. This was quite groundbreaking at the time, and it was kind of, in a way, quite progressive. And he studied things like transgender and kind of shone quite a light on all of this stuff. It sort of gets worse. He married an English writer called Edith Lees, who was a great proponent of women's rights. This was at the age of 32. And it was a somewhat unconventional marriage. He was pretty much known to be a virgin when he got married, and she was very openly a lesbian. And straight after the honeymoon, he went back to his bachelor rooms in Paddington, and it was all a bit messed up and weird. And so he became this expert on sexuality and stuff.
He doesn't sound like an expert.
Well, no, and his friends all said, yeah, but we know for a fact he was impotent until he was 60. And then he later discovered that he could become aroused by the sight of a woman micturating.
Oh.
So far,
so Victorian.
So laughable. And you know, perhaps one could say how progressive, you know, in terms of writing about homosexuality in a very sort of neutral and open way and transgender issues.
Yeah.
But he was very heavily into eugenics. And
they all were. This is the thing. Everyone was into eugenics.
They all were.
Marie Stopes, who we hailed today, go, oh, wasn't she this brilliant scion of birth control and women's rights over their own reproductive system? Also heavily into eugenics. The reason she wanted women to be able to choose whether or not to have children was so that she could breed the Irish out of the population.
Yes. So what's quite chilling about it is he was sort of saying, I'm not saying I want people that I don't think should be allowed to reproduce to be forcibly sterilised. No. That would make me a monster. All I'm saying is maybe give them an incentive. Maybe, I don't know, withdraw their benefits until they agree to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But I'll leave you on a slightly lighter note. In his 1905 book, Sexual Selection in Man, Havelock said that he believes that people are often delighted by people's odours, particularly in the East, particularly in India.
Right.
He says that smell is a big part of attraction and all the business in what he says, quote, Hebrew and Mohammedan lands. And he then goes on to describe the distinct odours of various races, noting that the Japanese race has the least intense of bodily odours. How do you work that out? Excuse me, would you mind if I were to sniff your crotch for medical science? You what? I'm doing an investigation, and I'd very much like to... Could I?
He does seem to be... I think we've learned, definitely doing this podcast, that late Victorian men could find ways of being creepy and weird that people in other centuries wouldn't even have begun to consider and have, like, dressed them up as science. Yeah. So, all I am doing is being a free thinker about the idea, should one have sex with my dog? And I've discovered the answer was no, but I did it after repeated experimentation.
So, yeah. And yeah, there was a lot about him that was very, very dodgy. There was a lot of kind of false equation between homosexuality and paedophilia. He was basically an awful, terrible pile of muck, and it's great that he's all done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hooray! Hooray! Hooray for now and not then.
Hooray that we're not in late Victorian England. Happy birthday to Louis Braille, who came up with the dot language so that blind people can read. Also, happy birthday to Doris Kearns Goodwin, the American historian whose Team of Rivals was famously read by Barack Obama. And happy birthday to Craig Revel Horwood, who is on a television programme, I understand.
Yes. I've got an idea, though. I've got an idea for a sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
Which has all of the Strictly judges, and they are reincarnated, or they go to heaven,
yeah,
and they come back at the age that they least often score. So Craig Revel Horwood is 10, and all the rest are like 1. And it's just a 10-year-old herding babies.
I don't see many opportunities for plot in this sitcom.
I think this is a great idea.
The one where the gang poo themselves, apart from Craig, who's too old to do that now. So he looks disdainfully at me. Yeah, all right, I'll pitch it. Happy Death Day to Phil Lynott, the Thin Lizzy frontman who married Leslie Crowther's daughter. Also, happy death day to Joan Aiken, the writer of children's books which included The Wolves of Willoughby Chase, in which the wolves all invaded our country by coming through the Channel Tunnel. Also, happy death day to, this is a second time appearance on this podcast, to Topsy the Elephant. She was killed in the film Elephant Being Electrocuted, sorry, Electrocuting an Elephant by Thomas Alva Edison in a Kinetopia cinematograph. She was 28 years old at the time. When she was toured as a baby, she was advertised as the first elephant born in the US, until P.T. Barnum found out that was a lie and made them stop claiming that. And if P.T. Barnum finds out you're a bigger liar than he is, you are a big, big liar.
I'm sorry, was that the first ever snuff movie?
As far as we know, I think. Although I imagine probably Havelock Ellis was somewhere
sniffing
killing
it.
His
cats.
And filming that in the late 1890s. Topsy the Elephants killed a spectator in 1902, but in Topsy's defence, the spectator was burning the end of her trunk with his cigar. So the fact that she then knelt on him until he died seems utterly fair. She was then known as the man-killing elephant, but when she came off one of the characters she's being transported to in New York, someone decided to try and tickle her behind the ear with a long thing because she was such a dangerous elephant, at which point she hurled him up in the air, and the circus decided they could no longer have such a dangerous elephant, and so they wanted to hang her, but the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals prevented them having a public hanging of an elephant, at which point they did the electrocution, which was filmed by Edison and is probably the most famous film about electrocuting an elephant. Anyway, that's Topsy. Happy death day to her, and may she have stamped on many more weird late Victorian people.
I think we should do a new series of what the Victorians did for us that kind of puts a slightly different slant on it all.
Yes, rather than saying, oh look, they built this amazing suspension bridge, we could say, look, they also it was legal to hire underage prostitutes until the 1870s or 1880s. I think it was late 1880s. It took a big campaign by the newspapers to suggest that actually buying children for sex should be illegal.
Leave means leave, mate. Round two. It's the 4th of January, 1972, and Rose Heilbronn has become the first female judge to sit at the Old Bailey in London. So she had quite an astonishing career. She was junior counsel for a West Indian cricketer called Leary Constantine, where he was turned away from a hotel due to his colour. That was the case, Constantine versus Imperial Hotels. Mm. I mean, Imperial Hotels are not going to be...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's in the name.
And then in 1946, she represented two boys who were injured in a minefield on the beach between Crosby and Southport. And then she did lots of murder trials, and she was the youngest KC since Thomas Erskine in 1783 when she was aged 34. And she became famous. Like, she wasn't, this isn't just sort of in dusty almanacs. She was a household name, and she was the first woman ever to lead in a murder case in 1949. She defended a gangster called George Kelly, who had been accused of shooting dead the deputy manager of the Cameo Cinema in Liverpool. And he said, the guy that she was defending said, "I'm not having a Judy defend me." Thank you very much. Yes, it was good. But he later praised her for her painstaking defence. And she became Daily Mirror's Woman of the Year off the back of that. I mean,
I can't imagine that that was a very edifying competition.
No.
The Daily Mirror's Lady of the Year.
I mean, George Kelly did actually then go to the gallows and hang.
Oh, right.
But to the consolation of no one at all, the Court of Appeal quashed his conviction as unsafe in 2003.
Oh, just in time.
Just 54 years later. So she had this extraordinary career in law.
Yeah.
And she became the first woman to sit as a commissioner of assize, and then she was the first female judge in the county court in 1962 and in the high court in 65, and then made it to be the first female judge to sit at the Old Bailey on the 4th of January 1972. Quite a life.
That's amazing.
I feel like
she's brilliant. That's
there's got to be a biopic in that, right?
Yeah, definitely. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg gets one, definitely.
I feel like it would be a CNN one. It would be one of their Sunday night specials.
Right.
9 p.m. Eastern. I don't know.
I'm going to take you back to the 4th of January 1936, when Billboard published their first pop music hit parade.
Yes!
Now, at the time, they weren't talking about specific recordings. They were just talking about the tunes themselves. So, because popular tunes were recorded by many people, so they weren't actually references to specific recordings. On the Billboard hit parade on the 4th of January 1936 were such hits as Lazy Eyed Susan, Crazy Jungle Rhythms Part 3.
What?
Oh No Joe, Not in That Hat, Parsley Wine is the Sweetest, and Here Come the Hot Stepper.
You made those. Those are made up. Tell me they're made up.
I did. I couldn't find out.
Thank God for that.
I could not find out what any of the real ones were.
They were so borderline plausible, some of those.
I quite liked Parsley Wine is the Sweetest.
That's beautiful. I think you should write that.
I will do. I'll get a tune by Havelock Ellis. For which is the... Oh, no, he wasn't there. What was the... traditional. I found it out. I went amongst the poor people in the countryside to find their local folk tunes and also to do terrible things to them.
All
the
I'm
night.
Saying is if you don't make it into the top 10, perhaps you should think about getting sterilised.
And on that delightful note, that was the 4th
yeah,
of January.
Happy days, guys. We'll be back tomorrow with another date fight.
Motoring through 2020.
Why don't you join us for that?
Please come back.
Yeah, please
come back. You'll be happier tomorrow.
I like that we descended in 60 shows down to... Oh, please, please, please come back. Please. Please come back.
Please.
I'll sterilise myself, whatever it takes. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
You just realised your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.